Turn to me in your hymnals one last time to hymn number 348. Hymn number 348. And let's go ahead and stand one more time. My hope is in the Lord. Hymn number 348.
My hope is in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Judy. I think I have a new favorite song. Isn't that a great message? Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's say a few things before we get into the message this morning. I looked over during the special and saw Rob and Deb Turnowski, and I was wondering how Nick was doing, and maybe you could, Rob, would you just take a second and share how your son's doing, and we'll pray for him today. How's that? If you want to come on up, you come on up. You can preach if you like. Amen.
I do all my preaching at home.
Do you? Does it work?
Nick is now on the HMCS Protector, and it's going down to, not sure what it's doing, but it's going down to Panama. So he's going down there. He just finished up one of his courses, environmental training, whatever that is, firefighting, whatever all it is. But he's down. He's in Victoria, BC still. His ship he was on. He was on the Vancouver, and it's now in Libya. Libya, right? But he couldn't go on it because he hadn't finished a course that he needed. So do a couple of your prayers for him as he serves our country there in at Victoria and wherever God leads him there.
Brother Baker, you're good friends with the Turnowskis. Why don't you stand and pray for Nick this morning? Yes. Amen. Well, we had a great week this week at the HELP program, and we had many, many young people trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'd encourage you to be here tonight. We're going to open it up for testimonies. We want our young people, if you're involved in the HELP program, we'd encourage you to give a testimony. So, well, I've never done that before. Well, tonight could be your first time. And just get up and share what God did in not only in your Bible clubs or in somebody maybe you dealt with, but what God did in your heart this week. And I know that it'll just be a wonderful blessing. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be afraid to get up and tell how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if we're going to see revival, we need that to be contagious. We need to get excited about that. You know, earlier this week on Tuesday, I'll share one testimony with you right now. On Tuesday, Pastor Stone says, I met a guy at a wedding a while ago, and he says, I'd like to go visit with him. And he said, I told him if I was ever down the Dover area, we'd go visit him. So we called Port Dover, and we went down and saw the gentleman, and we were talking to him. And he shared with us, he says, on Christmas Day, he says, I'm not going to use his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but he said, on Christmas Day, he says, I got so drunk, I nearly died. He says, I had ended up in the hospital. He says, I had alcohol poisoning, and I nearly died from it. And he says, I laid there in that bed, and he says, all I could remember was the message that Pastor Stone had preached at the wedding. And he says, I prayed, and God, if you are real, would you show me the right way and give me another chance? And he says, for some reason, I don't understand why. He says, I haven't touched liquor since. I have no desire to drink. And he says, I don't know what happened that day, but he says, and I said, well, it's been my experience that when you pray a prayer like that, God has given you a chance, and here's your chance right now. And I said, you're asking God to show you the right way. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Pastor Stone and I went back and forth and shared the gospel with him and encouraged him. And at the end, Pastor Stone says, no, we don't want to pressure you. We don't want to rush you. And he says, oh, no, no, I need this right now. He says, God has given me a second chance. He says, I'm going to take advantage of it. I need to be saved right now. And he bowed his head and asked Christ to save him. And so I'll be starting a discipleship with him this week. Pray that that it'll take hold and he'll come to church and we'll see him baptized. And but he was excited. And he showed us his gun collection after. And we showed the kids, we took some pictures with how we led him to the Lord holding a gun on him. But we didn't really do that. But I'm so glad he showed us after we sat down with the Bible. Because if he showed us before, we might have been out of there. But man, we had a good time. It's so exciting to see somebody get saved and want to know the Lord and just excited about it. And we have many more testimonies like that tonight. So you come, and it'll be a blessing. We have a lot of people here today visiting us that just heard about us through the HELP program. Somebody knocked on their door, and we appreciate you being here so much. Thank you for coming. And you're our honored guest today. And if you don't get 10 handshakes, Mr. Roberts is going to take you out for steak dinner. All right? So make sure you're friendly. Mr. Roberts will have his whole family shake your hand. I'm sure of it. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. How many of you are tired today? I'm going to tell you, young people, you know, I know you walked the streets and you knocked on doors and it was hot and you were in your Bible club for an hour and a half. Then you got an air-conditioned lunch. Then you were out door knocking for 2 hours and you went back to your air-conditioned room. I understand it was hot, but I'm going to tell you, we had some farmers out here that didn't get to go into air-conditioned rooms this week. And they worked hard all week, and they're here. And we're so thankful that our people worked hard, but we're thankful for everybody that worked hard this week. And so let's always remember that it's sometimes harder somewhere else. And thank God for the privilege of serving Him, no matter what the conditions were. But I'm thankful for your faithfulness. Everybody stuck it out right to the end. We had some sickness with the heat and everything, but we're so thankful that everybody stuck it out to the end and worked so hard. Hebrews chapter 4, I just want to give you four things about God's amazing grace today. Four things about God's amazing grace. You know, I guess I mention this a lot, and maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just get over it. But the Sunday after my father passed away, of course, he passed away on a Tuesday. We were up at that point. We had been up about 48 hours. And then on Wednesday, we had the funeral arrangements. Thursday was the funeral. And I stayed with my mama. I guess we stayed there till Saturday. And when I got home Saturday night, we fell into bed dead exhausted. You ever felt like that? Just, you're done. You're finished. And Sunday morning, I had to preach. And I got up about 7 or 7:30, I guess. And I was trying. I tried to sleep as long as I could and get some rest. And I got up and I said, Lord, I said, you just have to give me something because I just have not had the time and I do not have the strength. I do not have the energy. And within about 3 minutes, God gave me four things that I wrote down on a recipe card. And I laid it on the desk and I went back to bed for another hour. And my wife said, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. I said, why? She goes, I saw what you wrote on that recipe card. I just had four things and God gave it to me in just a moment. I just want to share it with you today. And God's grace is so amazing. It's such a wonderful thing. And I'm so thankful for 33 that experienced His grace this week. But you know, not just those that got saved experienced His grace, but many others experienced His grace. As they said, well, I'm too tired to go on. It's just too hot. I want you to know that God's grace does more than just save. It does a lot of other things for you today. And we want to look at some of those, if you will. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and read with me in verse 14. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. Father, again, I know there's a lot of people here that are tired today. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that they would understand that what they experienced this week was worth it. And Father, what a privilege it is to serve You. So God, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, for the next just few minutes to focus our attention upon Thee. Lord, as we look at these things that You have done for us. And I pray, Lord, that You would just burn it within our hearts how much You love us. You love us enough to extend Your grace. Father, I need Your help. I pray that You'd fill me with Your Holy Spirit and help me, Lord, to live for Thee. And Father, give me the words to say as I preach this morning. And God will thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think of that word grace, many of us have our own definitions and we've heard over the years what it means. Somebody came up with the clever acrostic that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that. I think it helps us remember what it means. The word grace literally means, from the Bible though, means unmerited favor. Unmerited because we don't deserve it. It is something that God has given us even though we don't deserve it. And you know, we talk about mercy and grace, and some people say, well, that's the same thing, isn't it? No, it's two different things. Mercy is God withholding that which we do deserve. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever shown mercy before? Maybe you needed to discipline your child and you grounded them for the rest of their lives, but you cut it short somehow. You've shown some mercy. Maybe you had it in your heart that you wanted to beat them until they were half dead, but you showed some mercy. And so we know, understand mercy is withholding that which we deserve. Because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God showed mercy upon my life, and He did not give me what I deserved, and what I deserved was eternity in hell because of sin. Now, this still baffles my mind today. And if we can just boil this down, here's what happened. God looked down through time and He saw me and He saw my sin and He saw my rebellious heart and He saw how wicked my thoughts were, and He says, I choose you over my Son who is perfect and sinless. That's mercy. He chose to save me and let His Son pay the price. That's mercy. And grace, if mercy is withholding that which we do deserve, grace is giving us something we don't deserve. So mercy is withholding hell and deferring punishment because of what Christ did. But grace is giving us heaven. It's giving us eternal life. It's giving us His Son, Jesus Christ. It's giving us the joy and the comfort of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It's giving us His Word. It's giving us all the promises of His Word that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's giving us this wonderful privilege that we can go boldly in the throne room of grace. That's what grace is giving us things that we do not deserve. But God gave them to us anyhow. That's grace. And if we look in the Bible today, we will find just four different things today. I suppose that if we were to talk about God's grace, we could talk about it forever and ever. How many of you remember the Temple Tones Quartet? How many remember them? You remember that the lady in the group? I don't remember her name. I don't know her name. But she sang that song about God's amazing grace. What was it? Marvelous, Can't Explain. And the only word for grace is amazing, I think it was called. You remember that song? How many of you remember that song? There is no way to explain God's amazing grace. There's no way to explain it. But we're going to try today with just four things that we find in the Word of God to encourage your hearts, I hope. But I want you to notice, first of all, as we look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16, the first thing we see today, that God has a sustaining grace. God has a sustaining grace. The Bible says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Look what it says now. Let us hold fast our profession. You know, the Jewish people would understand this, and Paul was writing to the Hebrews. They understood that every year that they would come into the temple place to sacrifice the Day of Atonement, and they would come and they would talk to a priest. And that priest would take their sacrifice and he would present it to the great high priest. And that great high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sacrifice it as a covering for their sin. But you know, we don't have to do that anymore. The Bible says that we have the Lord Jesus Christ who has entered into the Holy of Holies, and He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And He says, because of these things, let us hold fast our profession. He said, well, why? You know, there's times I get tired, there's times I get weary, and there's times I just want to give it up. And I say, I'm not going to go to church anymore, and I'm not going to go soul winning anymore, and I'm just going to pack it in and live my life the way I want to live it. Why would I hold fast? Why would I keep doing the right things? And the Bible says that we have the ability to be sustained by God if we'll trust in Him. The Bible says, as you'll read on in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me God knows that it's tough on this earth. It tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all things, and yet He did not sin. But He walked upon this earth and He saw sinful man eye to eye, and He experienced the pain and the sufferings of death. And He knows what it's like to live on this earth. And He says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. And when you're tempted to quit, when you're tempted to keep going, be reminded of this. God has a sustaining grace. And the Bible says, let us go to the boldly to the throne room of grace. And He says, why would you go there? To look for mercy. He says, come boldly to the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy. In other words, He's saying, everybody that comes to God and comes to prayer, they're coming saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. But He says, when you come looking for mercy, what are you going to find? You're going to find grace to help. I'm sorry, I thought we were in a church this morning. I'm here to tell you, God's throne, He's just sitting up there, and we come as sinners with all our wickedness and our unrighteousness and our filthy rags. And we say, God, show mercy on me. He says, not only will I show mercy, not only can you obtain mercy, you're going to find grace today, and I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to help you. It's so wonderful to know that God's grace is a sustaining grace. But you know, it's more than that. When I think of a sustaining grace, I think of that bridge out to PEI. Ever been on that thing? We were out east a few years ago. I guess this was just last year, wasn't it? We were out there and we stopped and saw Tim and Becky Smith. They had lunch for us. Anywhere there's a free lunch, I'll go visit. Amen. Oh, we had a good time with them. And Mrs. Engel was there. And it was last May, and we stopped in, and we went to PI for a day. And we got on that bridge. And how long is that bridge? Do you remember? 9 kilometers, something like that. 9 kilometers. And all I can remember is those big posts. Now, I don't know if you go across that thing, if you can feel it swaying or not, but I sure did. When I think of sustaining, I think of those posts holding up that bridge. That's just enough. I went fishing a few times down at the Hamilton Pier underneath the Skyway Bridge. Let me tell you, that thing shakes and sways. It moves. But it's sustained. In other words, it's held up. God's sustaining grace will hold you up. But I want to show you that it does more than that. Not only God's grace is sustaining, it's also sufficient. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. Paul was struggling with some things in his life, mainly that thorn in the flesh, that thing that had been bothering him for all those years. And the Bible says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, I've written in the margin of my Bible some things about these infirmities that brought Paul to this conclusion that his grace is sufficient for him. First of all, infirmities humble the proud. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. God has allowed Satan to buffet my flesh, to put this thorn in my side, that I might be humble enough to rely upon the strength of Christ. So infirmities humble the proud. Secondly, they have a higher purpose. We see in the Word, he says, "He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God's purpose is to show His strength in your life. And Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And the third thing about these infirmities, not only do they humble the proud, not only do they have a higher purpose, but they have a heightened power. Do you know that when you are weak before the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do more for the glory of God because the power of Christ will rest upon you. You need to come to Him. Paul says that's what I learned about His sufficient grace. As we think about the sustaining grace, we think about that bridge that is held up by those mighty pillars, and they're there to hold it up and to keep it into place. But sufficient grace means this. It means to erect a wall, to raise a barrier that is enough. I don't know about you, I've walked across a few of those bridges when we were kids. Don't tell my mom about this. But when we were kids, we used to go play on the railway bridge back over the Lynn River. And one of the fun things to do was to hide underneath that bridge while a train went across. Don't tell my mom. But man, that thing would shake and sway, and sometimes we'd even fall off into the river. It was so much fun. But you know, as you get older, you think, man, was I ever stupid? There was rocks flying, you know, things that were up there and pieces were coming off, and the thing would just shake and sway. And we were so glad to know that not only was it sustained, but it was sufficient. You know, sometimes you're walking across one of those bridges and you just wonder in your mind, is this thing going to hold up? Is this thing going to bear my weight? Is this thing going to collapse and fall? Yes, I understand it's sustained right now, but is it sufficient to meet the needs? Have you ever gone down one of those country roads and it says weight limit on this bridge? You ever seen those? You ever calculate real quick in mind how much your car might weigh? I got to find that out because it always bothers me. I don't know what my car weighs. Maybe I'm only supposed to take bicycles across there. I don't know. And so I'm wondering, is this going to sustain me? But more than that, God says, not only will my grace sustain you, I want you to know that it's sufficient. I've gone above and beyond. I'm going to make sure that that bridge never collapses. I'm going to make sure that there's enough strength there to help you and encourage you. And so Paul says his grace is sufficient. It's like raising a barrier. It's enough. How many of you have ever been to the Hoover Dam? Anybody ever been to the Hoover Dam? Mr. Lloyd, did you go there when you went to Las Vegas? Amen. He said yes before he could catch himself. That's where it is, isn't it? It's just outside Las Vegas. And I've seen pictures of it, and you see this mighty dam erected and that little trickle of water coming over. I'm sure it's a lot of water, but the size of that dam makes it look so small. If you could just see what's on the other side of that dam that's being held back, that's what sufficient means. It's like the dam that God has erected, and it's holding back all the mess of this world. And yeah, a little bit comes over sometimes because God is testing us. And God is trying us. And God is allowing these little thorns in our flesh so we will learn to rely upon that sufficiency of His grace. Can you imagine if that dam ever let loose? Can you imagine if God ever said, that's enough of my sufficient grace? We'd be destroyed. God allows a little into our lives, but it's nothing in comparison to what He's holding back. His grace is sufficient. Thirdly, this morning, not only is His grace sustaining, not only is His grace sufficient, but it's also a strengthening grace. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just back a few pages if you're still in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We see the word sufficiency again. In verse 8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things," look at the next phrase, "may abound to every good work." God's able to make His grace abound toward you, that you may abound to every good work. That's more than just a sustaining grace, isn't it? That's more than just being held up. I know there's trials. I know there's things that come into your life that are difficult and they break your heart and they're hard to deal with. And God says, I'll sustain you. I'll hold you up. But He also says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, you think that's bad? You won't believe the things I'm holding back. You won't believe the things the devil wants to throw at you. But my grace is sufficient. And through my sufficient grace, I will strengthen you. For when you are humble before me and when you humble yourselves before me, I will give you grace to be sufficient in your life and strengthen your life. And now He says, not only that, I want you to abound in every good work. I want you to be strengthened in the things of God. The Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know what that verse tells me? That's in Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11. The Bible tells me in that verse right there that God wants to give you this. No good thing will He withhold from you. His grace is a strengthening grace. God has given His grace to bring blessings into your life and to allow your life to abound in every good work. God wants to bless you. So many of us, we mope around and we miss out on God's blessing. We're disobedient, so we miss out on God's blessing. We'd rather whine and complain about the whole program than get involved, and we miss out on God's blessing. You know, somebody said, well, these kids made an awful mess in this church this week. Instead of saying 33 got saved. Where's our focus? God says, I want to strengthen you with my grace. I want to bless you with my grace. I want to help you with my grace. I want to see my church go forward. I want you to abound in every good work. So His grace is a sustaining grace, a sufficient grace, and a strengthening grace. But here is the entire point of the message today. If you're listening and you're visiting with us today, if you're watching by TV or live stream, I want you to hear this. It's important. God's grace is a saving grace. It's a saving grace. You will never understand today God's sustaining grace, His sufficient grace, or His strengthening grace if you don't first experience His saving grace. I was thinking about that fellow we were talking to in Port Dover. He says, I prayed on Christmas Day that God would give me another chance. that God would allow me. And if he was real, he said this, if you are real, would you show me the right way? He never touched a drink after. He never drank again. And I think God was just giving him a chance, showing his grace unto him that he might be saved. Are you saved today? Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you don't understand God's grace today, would you listen and understand this? That God's grace wants to save you. Remember again the definition of the word grace. It is something we don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. Nobody deserves to go to heaven. He said, well, that's kind of offensive. I'm a pretty good guy. It's not about who you are or what you are. He said, well, I do a lot of things. I'm pretty religious. It's not about the church you go to. He said, I give a lot to missionaries and I put money in offering. It's not about what you do. It's all about who you trust. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. In other words, if you will have faith today and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save you by his grace. That's the only way you can be saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans chapter 6, 23 says much the same. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants to save you by his grace. And the Bible goes on in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, you can jump up a couple. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That's for you. He tasted death by God's grace for you. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Listen, friends, if I were to ask you the question based on those six pieces of scriptures I read to you, how must a man be saved? The only conclusion we can come to is you are saved only by the grace of God. That's all. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The only thing you can do is turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him by faith. God's grace is a sustaining grace. It's a sufficient grace. It's a strengthening grace. But friend, the most important thing today, it's a saving grace. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He wants to save you. I sat on the front porch of a man on Friday afternoon. I had been given his name by somebody who knocked on his door and he seemed interested. And so I went back and I sat out on his front porch with him and talked to him. He was about 80, I think he said he was 82 years old. Never trusted Christ as his Savior. Matter of fact, he said, I never even heard how to be saved. He said, I know about church and I've gone to church. He told me he goes to a church in Waterford. He says, but they don't talk like this. He says, just come to church and be a good person and worship God and you'll be fine. We talked and we talked and we talked and we talked and we talked. And I said, you know, I said, you agreed with me that we're all sinners. And you've agreed with me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That we're all, there's a place called heaven. And I went right all through. And he agreed with me on every point. And I said, wouldn't you like to receive God's gift of salvation right now? He says, well, I really am kind of a busy guy. I don't know if I have time for that commitment. What I did not know until after I left, Pastor Stone was talking with his daughter. Was they were packing him up and taking him to a nursing home that afternoon. His body was breaking down. But he was saying, I'm so busy. And I said, I'm not talking about the physical man. I'm talking about the spiritual man. I said, I know you're busy physically and you got a beautiful home here and his yards just look like a botanical gardens. He just really was meticulous about keeping them up, or somebody was helping him. I don't know. But it just seemed like he just spent so much time working in his yards. And he said, I got a lot of yard work to do. And he said, look at all my beautiful flowers. I said, I understand that. I can appreciate that. I said, but it only takes a moment to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but I don't have time for that kind of commitment. I said, there's no commitment to make. All you need to do is turn your heart to Jesus Christ and ask Him in faith to save you. I said, you can still work on your gardens. He says, no. I can't do it. And he refused that free gift of grace. One day we'll stand before God and that man will come up and I'll see him. And Pastor Stone will recognize him. And the workers that knocked on his door early in the week, they'll say, I know him. And he'll stand without excuse because he refused the gift. It's just there for the taking, friends. God's grace is a saving grace. Won't you trust Him today? Let's pray. Father, help us understand Your Word and speak to our hearts. Father, maybe there's some here today that know not Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, would You speak to them right now in the quietness of this moment? I pray, Lord, that they would understand that without Jesus Christ, they're lost. They're sinners on their way to hell. But with Jesus Christ, they can have eternal life. The Bible reminds us that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So, Father, just help them today to turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept this free gift of grace. Father, maybe there's some here today, Lord, that have been struggling in this life and they need to trust in Your strengthening grace, Your sustaining grace, Your sufficient grace. Father, would You just help each one of us to learn to trust in Thee? We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.